Jam! Hello again and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic. And I really hope the microphone is not picking up the dog that is howling outside.
I do not hear it.
Okay, good. Just say, ooh, ooh, and
wait, it hasn't
stopped. Now I
hear it.
Yeah. I really, like a werewolf, man.
I really hate you guys. I am Chewy, and I hate my co-hosts. Squee.
Hi, Chewy. Yeah, you should hate that guy.
And Clues.
Hey, I hate Clues, too.
Wait, no, you are Clues.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's both. It's,
oh, okay.
Didn't you also marry someone and make them a Clues?
Superposition of states, I guess.
So, like, out west?
I'm saying if I open up the box, I might be dead. I don't know.
Gotcha. Schrodinger's Clues.
Yes.
Okay, then. So, that was very bizarre opening to this show, and we make no apologies.
The show will be completely smooth and error-free.
Yes, never mind Clues roboting. We don't know why. He doesn't know why. We've tried to fix it.
I was going to say, if you hear me roboting, just know that it's your recording, like you specifically who's listening to it, not Chewie's recording and certainly not my upload. It's fine.
Yes. We'll go with that. So.
Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. Pulled from YouTube. All right, go ahead.
So we have.
Hooray for content ID.
Blocked and reported. So we have some news. The most important of which is that the Masters 25 release notes have come out.
All right, we get to learn how this set works.
Yeah, so,
invoking all the new mechanics.
Like, so
protection.
The returning mechanics are cycling and type cycling. Basic land cycling, I think, is... I guess there are a couple that have land cycling, but... There you go. Morph and Megamorph. Remember Megamorph? No one else does, because it was kind of silly.
It's like 1,000 morphs or something. No, it's 1,000,000 morphs. Mega. Yeah, go units. Go
ahead. Or it's a little blue robot morph.
Super fighting morph.
That wasn't even Mega Man music. Anyway, protection has its own section here in the release notes because, you know, they don't really do that anymore, and that makes me sad. And then regenerate.
Yeah, buddy, ghost ship.
Is also in the release notes here because they don't really do that anymore. And then it goes card by card like usual. It's the release notes. You know how it works. Yep. So, yay, Masters 25 hype. Are we hyped?
We're hyped.
I am sufficiently hyped right now. I imagine it will only grow with time.
Yeah. So, that's Masters 25. Hey, Dominaria!
Wait, what?
Oh, hey, wait, all right. Hey, look at that.
Wait, what were we talking about? We started the show... And you told us you hate us, and that's fair. And then there was some Terminator joke. And yeah, hey, Dominaria. All right, let's talk about that.
Yes. Awesome.
So, yeah, the Chinese magic site has screwed up. I think, again, it seems like the Chinese MTG site screwed something else up before. But I can't remember what off the top of my head. And I'm too lazy to look it up. But we think... This might be speculation, or they might have said this, I don't know. But we think they were trying to put up the Masters 25 release notes and accidentally put up the Dominaria release notes.
That is the story I have heard.
Boop, boop, ba-doo.
And of course, they caught it and took it down, but it's too late.
Yeah.
No, it's far, far too late. This is the internet.
Yeah, so this was on Thursday.
Yep.
I know this because right before... at the very beginning of the stream for the Manapool 500, this was brought to my attention, and I was like, "Wait, what?" Well, we're not changing what we're doing for 500, but I guess we'll mention it.
Yeah.
so that was a little weird, but they reacted, they got ahead of it, and Blake Rasmussen released or put up an article on the mothership that says what they're gonna do. And then, and what they did, the main thing, was they released the English release notes.
Along with every other language that they prep it for officially.
Right, right. But for, you know, us.
For us, it's the English one.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, it's up in 11 languages.
Do, 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 do.
But, 2,
3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
11, 12. So.
No, 11. Just stop there.
Oh. You don't know. I might have miscounted.
You can't count numbers. Do, 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 do.
No fair. You can count because you're a robot. So. What they're going to do, or what they've done, is go ahead and release them.
Yeah.
So that there aren't inaccurate translations making the rounds and upsetting people, which has happened in the past.
Yes.
They're just like, you know what, fine. Here, we screwed up. We're ahead of it. And they altered the way they were going to do all of the entire preview thing, just constantly. Just everything.
And I, first of all, I want to say kudos to them for actually going ahead and releasing the actual notes, because seriously, that's really the way to go here.
Yeah.
Absolutely the way to go. Secondly, I do want to say that if you out there in listener land noticed that all this went down on Thursday and were like, holy crap, I'll see what Watsy's going to say, and you read where Watsy said what they were going to do, they're only kind of doing what they said they were going to do back then.
Yeah, so that was Thursday.
Yeah.
Today.
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah. Today, Aaron Forsyth posted an article about how they, over the weekend, they've listened to a bunch of the feedback and decided, let's not just start vomiting out all of Dominaria already, because, well, that sucks. Masters 25 hasn't even come out yet, and as Bill alluded to earlier, no one cares anymore, because Dominaria... This really sucks, you guys. This leak really sucks. Because there are people out there who can't not read stuff when it's released or leaked or whatever. I am not one of those people. I just downloaded the release notes earlier today, just before, right during the odds and ends, so that I could find a few key points of things that we wanted to talk about that weren't card specific. And that's it. I didn't read any cards or anything.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people who can know something's out there and not go look at it. Other people can't do that, and then they complain that they can't do that.
And still other people don't go looking for stuff and get tagged in it anyway.
Right, and then end up as criminals. shout out to our Southeastern judges.
Viva la Dupras.
So what we are going to do here on this show is talk about some of the general things coming from Dominaria and ignore all the card-specific things that are just in the release notes.
Yeah, we're not going to share the stuff that is essentially not intentional for us to know it yet. We're just going to touch in on the small minor things that we either knew were coming or are not really going to have any impact on your discovery mode with this set.
Exactly. So, if you came here looking for us to talk about all the rares and mythics in Dominaria, no.
No.
Because there are people, and apparently a significant number of people, who don't want to know. And I am one of those people. So, sorry. If you are one of those people who doesn't want everything to be spoiled for them, hey, welcome. Come hang out. We are not going to talk about any of that stuff. Now, also in Aaron Forsyth's Aaron Forsyth's article today, he points out, okay, we're actually going to wait. They're going to start up the Dominaria talk on Wednesday, March 21st. That's when the mechanics and rules articles that were supposed to just go ahead and go up today, and some preview cards, just all of that stuff was going to go up today. And they rethought it over the weekend and was like, okay, let's not do that. So that all kicks off March 21st, which is a Wednesday. Another thing is they moved the Magic Story content that was supposed to start today, that was just supposed to start today. This had nothing to do with the league. This has been the way it's going to be for at least a week or more. It was supposed to start today. And they decided, nah, we'll push it back to the 21st, which I know really upset my Mana Pool co-host Brian, who's been really looking forward to the story, like a lot. In fact, he sent the scheduling email this morning that was not, hey, what are we doing this week? It was this long rant about how they're not going to release the story, even though they were originally supposed to, regardless of the leak, blah, blah, blah. Why'd they push it back? I'm so mad. Okay, what are we doing this week? So
I believe this story.
Checks out.
Yeah, like he was not happy.
I completely believe this story.
And like I sort of understand why they would just push all the Dominaria stuff to one starting point. But then on another note, I don't understand why they would push some Dominaria content that was already just gonna start now.
I'm back surprised further. It was originally gonna start now more than anything else.
Maybe not today, but it was supposed to start this week, was when the first...
Well, that's what I would think it would have started after 25 came out, but...
Well, since it's just flavor and there isn't any lore for Masters 25, yeah. I think the original plan was just go ahead and get a story or two started to start laying the groundwork, but nope.
Yeah, they might also just double up on articles later to just give it a bigger punch, so we'll see.
Yeah, so they're still doing preview cards like they normally would. But because the Masters 25 hype has been shot in the foot, they're releasing Masters 25 on Magic Online on Wednesday of this week. So the 14th.
Wait, like 2 days from now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. They're just pushing it up. So there you go. I mean, the longer they wait with Dominaria being like half of Dominaria and like the good half of Dominaria being leaked early. Yeah, like we've said, the hype for Masters 25 just evaporated, just gone.
Both so. Masters 25 and Dominaria were going to be weighing in a bit on nostalgia. The difference is you're paying Masters level prices for reprints that hit the nostalgia bone, or you can wait a month and a half and pay normal prices for new cards that dive further into the nostalgia direction and also are standard relevant. Like, there's just a really hard competition piece that they've kind of backed into here now that they can't channel the hype the way they want to.
Exactly. So there you go. For those of you who play Magic Online, be happy.
What I took away from that is that channel is confirmed to be in Dominaria. Okay.
What?
Gotcha.
The spell? No.
Yep, that's totally what I'm taking away from that.
Is that reserved?
I have no idea.
Doesn't matter. It's probably not Dominaria. If it is, I will be surprised.
Probably.
And someone will be fired.
That's certainly not something from a leak. Seriously.
No.
We're not
someone
kidding.
Would get fired if they made that mistake.
I was making a bad joke. It didn't land. We're moving on.
It was pretty bad. So, we did get one card.
We did.
Yeah. And we would have to look at that other document to understand how it works.
And I actually think Clues is being completed by the Phyrexians because he's roboting hard.
You're kidding.
Oh, no, now you're good. Okay, good.
Oh,
it takes rage to keep him here, so we're just going to keep him angry.
Everything is fine.
Hey, Clues.
Yeah?
Daylight savings time.
There is no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
I love that pause. That was great. All right. So, hey, look, a card, and it's got a weird frame and stuff.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is, hang on, I accidentally clicked away, and now I've lost it. Nope, here it is. Yeah, this is a new card type, well, a new enchantment subtype, called a Saga. Saga.
There should really be a JRPG series.
Yeah, like, if there were 7 of them, maybe?
At least.
Wasn't that by Enix? Yeah, Seven Saga was an Enix game back before it was Square Enix.
Probably.
Anyway.
That sounds right.
yeah, sagas are a weird thing that are sort of like a...
kind of look like contraptions.
They kind of look like contraptions. They have a very bizarre frame where all the text is on the left side and the art runs down the right side.
Very distinct.
Very distinct. Sagas are enchantments, and it says the reminder text at the top, as the saga enters and after your draw step, add a lower counter, sacrifice after Roman numeral 3. And yeah.
We're going to tell a story, you guys.
I guess. So somebody else read this, because this makes my head hurt.
Okay. Phyrexian Scriptures, 2BB. As noted, there's 3 Roman numerals on here, as you could surmise. First Roman numeral section. Blah, blah, blah.
Roman numeral?
Phenomena. First phenomena section. Put a +1/+1 counter on up to 1 target creature. That creature becomes an artifact in addition to its other types. So when it enters the battlefield, it will put a +1/+1 counter on up to one target creature, and it'll become an artifact condition of other type. There's no duration on that. Says it. So keep that in mind. Skip down a little bit to Roman numeral 2, which will be the after your next draw step, essentially, barring shenanigans. Destroy all non-artifact creatures. That sounds pretty opposite of Phyrexian, given they messed with the whole artifact plane. But you know what? They're jerks. They can do that. Also, this is a black card, so good luck destroying artifact creatures.
Well, this is old school Phyrexians.
That's true. Yeah, this is like the OG jerks.
Yeah.
And finally, at Roman numeral 3, exile all cards from all opponent's graveyards. So after it does that, it will be sacrificed per the reminder text at the top.
Yeah, and so, people were asking on Twitter if after your draw step was a new templating thing in Dominaria. It is not.
It is not. No, it's totally not. That to be clear, that is really reminder text. That's not exactly how this thing does what it does. Most likely, and again, we don't have the mechanics article yet, but based on things that have been said by certain actual WotC individuals on the Twitters, this is really just a nice way, a nicer way of saying at the beginning of your pre-combat main phase.
Pretty much, yeah. And yes, listeners, we know it's all spelled out in the release notes. We
yeah,
know.
We do know that, yes.
We are just not going to fool with that.
Right. The other thing to note is that this thing that it's doing with the lore counters, that is not a trigger. And that's why they didn't write it as at the beginning of your blah. You know, whenever at, they don't want to do those sorts of trigger words. So I'm betting that that had something to do with why they worded it this way. Besides which, I'm also going to say that most, how can I phrase this without sounding unnecessarily mean? Pretty much everybody understands when they're, that there's a time after their draw step, but I'm not sure that everyone would understand the phrase, the beginning of your pre-combat main phase, without going, huh? Just look, just draw and then do this thing.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Clues has already cast his, and he is now an artifact creature.
Is it doing it again?
Yeah,
still?
Yeah,
but you got +1/+1. Like, that's pretty sweet deal.
Yeah,
that's good. When we get to Roman numeral 2 of this show, at least I'll be okay.
I mean, give me a turn. I'll be back just in time.
I'll just become indestructible somehow because it's what I do.
I mean, sure.
But anyway, so there you go. There's Phyrexian Scriptures. It's neat. The card frame is a trip.
Oh, and this is a mythic, by the way.
Yeah, this is a mythic, by the way.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's Dominaria for you. But it's not. We have a couple more things we want to talk about vis-a-vis Dominaria. So there are some things that are coming or changing that need to be addressed. First and foremost, in my mind, they are removing, from all things that add mana to your mana pool, they are removing the phrase "to your mana pool."
Well, you had a good run, buddy.
Yeah.
Made it to 500, and then the moment you got there, cut you down.
Yeah, yeah. So there goes all that free publicity on lands and elves and things. Nowadays, well, after Dominaria, they will just say, tap, add green, which Brian, I think, was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then he said it out loud, and he goes, well, I guess that's what I say anyway. Yeah, Brian, yeah. It is.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
It frees up a lot of real estate on the card, which is pretty important.
Now that we also don't have mana burn.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to sound mean, but the concept of the mana pool, not the show, the concept of the mana pool kind of stopped being relevant once mana burn went away.
That said, it is still a game term. It's just not going to be on the cards.
Yeah. The concept is still there. The mana pool is still a thing. We're not going away after 500, although when I woke up Friday morning afterwards, I thought it was going to go away because I was dead. But it's still there. It's just, they're just taking it off of the card, which, you know, makes sense. It's just extraneous nonsense that really doesn't need to be there anymore. Like, add a green to your mana pool, or add green, say the same thing. It's not like, add green to what? Like, my creatures? Shut up. So that's one thing. Another way that they're cleaning up space on cards... I'm trying to find it here without reading other cards, and it's a real pain.
It is.
Okay, here we go. Various non-functional changes. So yeah, the example it gives is Llanowar Elves, and it's tap, add G. Nice and simple. Makes sense. And then they are now going to adopt the term they as the preferred third-person singular pronoun for a player, replacing he or she. So instead of target player reveals his or her hand and discards a card, or something like that, it's just target player reveals their hand. It's very simple. It's how we say it in shorthand when we're trying to get through reading cards quickly. Anyway, it's how everyone says it.
It absolutely is.
No one really says, in casual conversation, he or she. They just don't.
Yeah, I can't remember who made this tweet, but there was a thread on the Twitters about this, and someone pointed out, they said, quote, someone left his or her phone. I really hope he or she comes back for it.
Exactly.
You would never do that, right? Someone left their phone. I hope they come back for it. Ta-da! It's totally just the way the language actually works. And for those of you out there, and I know there are a couple of you who are out there, I know that there are a few of you who are out there thinking, oh, man, but look, I am totally into grammar, and that is not grammatically correct. They is a plural. You can't do this. Look, we've been doing this for like hundreds of years now. Seriously.
Like, literally.
It's fine. Language is a living, breathing thing. It can evolve. If you want a language that doesn't evolve and doesn't change, could I recommend Latin?
You should totally speak Latin, yeah.
Go right ahead, speak Latin, no one will understand you, and that will be just fine.
The singular they had emerged by the 14th century, so yeah. Chill.
Wow, that's the 1500s for those of you paying attention.
That word is been around longer than most of us knew where this continent was. Oh. Chill.
Also, when this was announced by Lee Sharp, he said something to the effect of, I hope, what did he say? We hope this makes non-binary players feel more welcome, or something to that effect.
Hopefully non-binary players will feel more welcome in the game.
There you go. And that is an added bonus. He or she takes up more, and his or her, just all of those variations on cards, take up real estate on a card that is replaced by they. Sort of like when create a token, boom, saves real estate. When a creature dies, boom, saves real estate. Reveals their hand, boom, saves real estate. And there's the added bonus of being more inclusive. But of course, because it's the internet, and there are, how can I put this on Monday Night Magic? Dickheads on the internet.
I was going to say, there's no swearing on Monday Night Magic.
Horrible asshats on the internet. They just couldn't handle this, and they proceeded to rail against against Wizards for pushing social justice and or politics in a game. And to those people, I say, die in a fire. You're a terrible person, and you need to stop. Okay? Okay.
And I say, there's the door. Just go. If this offends you that much, leave. We don't need you here.
Yeah.
I would appreciate it if you would just stop using the internet.
Well, we all know that's not going to happen, unfortunately, but...
I would appreciate it if you were to go to your computer and find the delicious pasta that connects it to the wall and just start eating.
I would prefer it if you just... contain yourself to only Facebook, because I'm not on there.
You're a monster. You go to Friendster.
And Google Plus. No, Google Wave. Google Wave. There we go.
Google Plus exists and you're on it.
It does? Still? Really?
You have a Gmail account. It's still there. Oh. That is irrelevant, though. These people are bad, and they should feel bad. Moving on.
But they don't. That's the problem. They
I said
don't.
Should. Moving on.
Okay. So, yeah. We here on Monday Night Magic like to point out when people are just wrong. This is one of those cases. You're wrong. Stop it. Now, of all the reasons to complain about something, that's not... No, just shut up. Okay, moving on. Oh, there was one more thing.
Yep.
That I forgot to add to the show notes, but they are... okay, let me just read this. Abilities that modify how a spell behaves on the stack, such as additional costs, refer to themselves as this spell rather than by using their card name. Yeah, so...
Really?
Yeah. Huh. So instead of... I don't actually know.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
Instead of saying something like, you may cast Invigorate? Is that the name of the card? Reinvigorate? The free spell? Oh, for God's sake. The pump spell where you give your creature plus, I think, +3/+3.
I am blanking on it, too.
Okay, here we go. Invigorate. That was right. If you control a forest, rather than pay Invigorate's mana cost, you may have an opponent gain 3 life. Target creature gets +4/+4 until end of turn. Okay, that spell. Under the new Dominaria...
Templating,
thank you. It will now say, if you control a forest, rather than pay this spell's mana cost, you may have an opponent gain 3 life. Very clean.
That is much cleaner. I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate the fact that this may give us some wiggle room when it comes to creatures, especially legendary creatures that have incredibly long names, where they would have to say when, you know, Sinbad, the unfortunate comedian who is also a sailing pirate, enters the battlefield. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah. So there you go. That is... That's cool.
Wasn't there one more thing?
Oh, there is. Last but not least, a bar now appears between rules text and flavor text on cards with both to make each more distinct.
Which is great.
Wait.
And I also want to say that saving real estate on cards with the whole they also gives us more room for sweet, sweet flavor text.
I thought you were going to say sweet, sweet bars.
Well, hang on. They've done that before. Was that a portal thing?
Before us.
Maybe? Crap. I don't know. You're the old man. No, that's me.
I swear, I think the portal MTG images. Oh, it's giving me a bunch of cards with the word portal. Ah, here we go. Giant spider. Yeah, it's got a bar on it between...
Chewie, there's a spider.
There is. Giant spider can intercept as though it had flying. Bar. It's not far into the trap as the crow flies.
Oh, I remember these now.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, those are neat.
Yeah, that is cool. Did you mention the Planeswalker redirect rule?
No, not yet.
Okay, because I thought you were going to leave without saying something about it.
Oh, no, that's the big one. So that one's going to take some...
All right. I was just worried. You had me worried.
So that's all the non-functional like templating changes that are just there to save card real estate, right? Right.
Right.
All of those are good. I like all of those. Planeswalker redirection rule. We heard about this a while back because of Magic Arena.
Yep.
And so they are, and actually Rosewater answered a question about it on Wednesday or Thursday or Tuesday or something last week on his blog, on his Tumblr, Blogatog. He's like, I believe that rolls out with Dominaria, and here you go.
Yep.
So what that means is the Planeswalker redirection rule is really, well, dumb.
But yeah, it was a patch job.
It was a patch job, and they just never removed the patch, and they just let it sit there for years and years. So they're finally, because this was a big, it would have been a big deal to have to change it. Well, now they're doing it.
They fixed the glitch. It took 10 years, but they fixed the glitch.
So now you don't get your red swing line anymore.
Oh.
But, okay, so let me just read this. Abilities that read target creature or player, because Lightning Bolt, for instance, can hit a creature, a player, or you can target a player and redirect it to a Planeswalker, right?
Right.
Which, and by the way, let me just say that a lot of players probably already are doing what the new change is.
Yeah, I was about to say, which everyone, once they became comfortable with that and their play group became comfortable with that, just said, bolt Jace.
Specifically Jace.
Which is the correct answer. Always bolt Jace.
Okay, I really wish I hadn't said Jace now, but...
Everyone wishes everyone hadn't said Jace.
Okay. Carrying on.
Thank you, Clues. So...
Okay.
But everyone just says, bolt your planeswalker. No one says, well, on occasion, my dorks still do, usually when we're recording an episode, is they bolt you, but redirect it to your walker. So, now, abilities that read target creature or player have been changed to any target. Right?
Right.
Makes sense. Now, people that like to complain about things have said, well, what does that mean, any target? An artifact's a target. Shut up.
Yeah.
All right, you are nitpicking because you fear change. You are not helping. Any target would imply legal target, and you can't target a basic land that's just a basic land with a lightning bolt. Shut up.
But that one that looks like a land that's actually a Dryad Arbor, you can target that.
Yeah, I wish you would, in fact.
Yeah, please.
So,
please do that.
Clues, I really need you to stop getting sidetracked.
Chewy, I have bad news.
Okay, I need you to give me like 5 minutes of not getting sidetracked with Jace and Dryad Arbor. Just stop,
all
right?
I'll see what I can
this
do.
This is very important stuff here. So, target creature or player is now just any target, right? Right.
Right.
Abilities that read target player have been changed to target player or planeswalker. But I'm gonna guess that discard spells don't say that. Because that would be dumb. Because planeswalkers can't discard cards. So calm down. Everything's fine.
Yeah, just to reiterate before all of these bullets that Chu's mentioning, these are just applying to damage spells.
Correct. So, okay, we good? We good. Because anything that could target a player, you know, Lava Spike, your face, redirect it to your walker, that's already what it does. So now it just says on the card, target player or planeswalker, okay? And since there are a lot fewer, I think, just anecdotally, just thinking about it, there seem to be a lot fewer that deal just face damage. Right?
Probably.
Probably. It seems like it. Abilities that read target opponent have been changed to target opponent or planeswalker. Oh, but now it says these spells and abilities can target a planeswalker you control. Oh, so that's different.
That might be relevant, actually. Some cards might have just gotten better.
Hmm. And then abilities that deal damage but don't call for a target haven't received errata. It says, with one exception, Vile Smasher the Fierce. What?
I don't know that card.
I don't remember what Vile Smasher does. Hold please.
You keep talking. I will look it up and try to figure it out.
Too late. Okay, whenever you cast your first spell each turn, Vile Smasher the Fierce deals damage equal to that spell's converted mana cost to an opponent chosen at random. Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So is that...
It's probably the only spell in the game that chooses an opponent at random.
Interesting. I don't see anything... Yeah, that bring that listeners just heard was me searching for the word plane. There's no mention of planeswalkers in any of the rulings. I'm guessing that that's one you can't? Redirect? I don't know. That's very strange. But anyway, they'll explain all that later. But okay, so these are all very easy to understand. Alright? Wizards, I know Wizards has screwed up some in the past, like, you know, leaking this document accidentally. But they wouldn't do something like this that is going to completely break the game, okay? They wouldn't. They would be like, guys, this is a terrible idea. We need to not break the game. And then they wouldn't break the game. So for everyone who's panicking and freaking out and saying it's the end of Magic, shut up.
We have a long history of, and we're still here.
Yeah. It's okay, we're fine. Everything's fine. Nothing is ruined. Okay? Okay. All of these changes, with the exception of target opponent or planeswalker, since they can now target a planeswalker you control, which that's exceedingly rare that you would want to do that, so...
Yeah, that's a ping it because you're stealing it kind of condition.
Yeah, but everything, it's already how it works. They're just changing what's written on the card. to get rid of a stupid patch job rule that they should have gotten rid of a long time ago. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So now that we've all calmed down and removed the mana pool, we're good now, right?
Yeah, the other note to go with that is that a small number of other cards that modify damage are being affected, usually damage prevention things, because that matters for players and planeswalkers, but we don't have examples of that right now. But just for reference, that's also a thing that we'll hear about more when they get to the mechanics article.
Right. There are all kinds of corner cases and whatnot. People go, well, what about? Shut up.
Just wait. We promise, before these go into effect, you'll have had plenty of time to learn the rules. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Most of them do what you already think they do. Whatever weird corner case comes out of this, 16,000 people will write the same 18-word article on. You'll see it on Twitter.
Yeah. Okay. So, now what?
Well, my 5 minutes are up, so I can sidetrack us again, but go ahead.
Yeah, you can. I just really wanted to get through that without a snarky comment from each bullet.
Fine. Oh.
So, should we do tournaments?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, let's do tournaments. These are going to go relatively quickly, at least the two GPs. There's a Team Limited GP in Santiago. This is not it. This is Santiago. Here we go. And it was Team Limited, so there's really not much
limited coverage.
Yeah. But how many people were at this one?
261 teams of three, so 783 people.
Nice. So let's see. Who won? Sebastian Pazzo, Luis Salvato, and Lucas Esper Berthoud?
I think Berthoud.
Berthoud?
Yeah, why not?
I cannot remember.
Look,
it's at least as correct as all of the other ways we got it wrong.
That is true, yeah. So there you go. They won. Second place was, holy crap, was Willie Adel, Giuliano Gennari Souza, and Thiago Saporito. That's a hell of a team. I mean, the first one was a hell of a team. These are all hells of teams, because that's the proper plural, by the way, is hells of teams.
Oh, I thought the plural was a dam. Okay.
What? Oh, maybe? I don't remember.
A dam of hells?
Yeah.
Damnation.
In third place, we have... Why can't I read this name?
Wrench?
Okay, there we go. We had no, it was because the white
text
on the
radiant
white background. Well, I was like, am I reading this right? I was, it turns out. It's Guilherme? Medeiros Merham, let's say. We're going to go with that. Hang on, my stupid thing scrolled away. Carlos Romão and Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa. That's third place. That's a hell of a team. And then in fourth place, Diego Roca Suarez, Marco Vargas, and Alejandro Van Murek was the fourth place team. Nice.
So you notice, looking at the pictures of all of these teams, a lot of Hararia?
Yeah, I did notice that.
Well, some of them.
Well, I mean,
at least one
spread across multiple teams.
Yeah. All right, then. So there you go.
Also, I appreciate the extra bunny ears in the fourth place picture. Well done.
Those are extra. Yeah, usually you have to pay for that. So that's a freebie, you guys.
I mean, that's the perks of getting to the top four.
Yeah. So that was Santiago, which, like I said, was Team Limited. So, you know, not much for us to say. GP Madrid, however, was also a team event, but it was Team Trios Constructed, which is weird.
Standard, Modern, and Legacy. But the deck lists are kind of hard to weigh because of the nature of Team Trios.
Well, yeah. But they've said in the past that they're going to stick with, you know, one format per weekend. And occasionally things get wonky, and so this happens. So now we have two different formats in the same weekend. Interesting.
We are covering all the limited and all of the constructed.
Yeah, so there were 354 teams in GP Madrid. That's 1,062 players. The first place team was Christoph Green, Ben Jones, and Charles Eliatambi, let's say. In you know what? Because it's Team Trios, we're just not going to bother with what people are playing. Also, the deck lists aren't in order, and I don't feel like going through the hell of trying to figure it out. So, sorry.
If you want deck list, wait a minute. We'll get to some. Not this.
Oh, I was like, no, we're really not.
Yeah, yeah. There's another place where we will go that has got decks within the same format to make it a little more substantial.
True. In second place team, we had Michael Bondi, Andreas Peterson, and Thomas Enevoldsen. In third place, Elias Watzfeldt, Joel Larsson, and Per Nystrom. There we go. I think that's right. And in fourth place, we had Adriano Moscato, Carmine Daniello, and Alessandro Lippi. We're going to just go with that. I apologize, as always, for mispronouncing everyone's name horribly.
I apologize to these 12 people, since none of them got the bunny ear experience that they missed out on from the other event. So
that is
we apologize.
Kind of awful. Yeah.
I hope that your friends will help you out in a future photo.
Yeah. Terrible. Anyway, so there you go. How many people were at that? That was 1,000? 1,062, yeah. If you would like the deck list, of course, the link is in the show notes. By all means, go get them.
Yep.
All right, so then we had some Star City events. Where were they? Dallas. And the open this week was Modern, with 818 people playing. Clues?
That is not a small number.
But it is
a palindrome.
There we go.
I was waiting for that.
It turns out that Andrew Wolbers won with a green-red Ponza deck running four copies of Bloodbraid Elf.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Bloodbraid Elf and Land Destruction, you say?
Yeah, Bloodbraid Elf into, a Molten
Rain. Pick your
rain.
Or
a Stone
Rain.
Oh, but he's not running the green guy, whose name has completely fallen off.
Green guy.
It's not a Gumby. Guy. The green spell that all of these green-red Land Destruction decks run, it has completely fallen out of my brain. Maybe that costs four. I think it does. Never mind. That's probably why.
That would be my guess.
I for the life of me, cannot remember the name of the damn thing.
Hmm.
So, anyway.
Is it Mon Vali Acid Moss?
That's the one.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that costs four.
Thank you.
It's dead to us.
Yes, Bloodbraid Elf does not have time for your shenanigans.
It frees up space for Bloodbraid Elf, too.
There's also that, yeah. So yeah, there you go. That's a Ponza deck that won, so that's kind of miserable. Second place, Dylan Kirkpatrick is running a blue-red Gift Storm deck. You know, like you do. In third place, Caleb Scherer is running a blue-red Gift Storm deck.
Like you do.
Like you do. In fourth place, John DeBruin is running Infect.
You should get that looked at.
Probably, yeah.
It's got that Dryad Arbor you hate so much.
Yeah, it does.
Well, maybe not. It might have the Dryad Arbor that I don't hate so much.
It's still in fact.
That's a good point.
That's fair.
In fifth place, there's Jadine. I really need to learn how to say her last name properly. Is it Clomperins? You know, Jadine.
I have no idea.
I've never heard it said out loud. I only see it written all the time, so I don't know. But
well, she was running
Jund, because Bloodbraid Elf, and Dark Confidant, and Scavenging Ooze, and Tarmogoyf. Oh god, is this the kind of Jund where everything is hit by a Bloodbraid Elf?
Looks like it.
Yep, literally every spell in the deck can be played off of the Bloodbraid Elf.
It's what made Jund good.
Yeah.
This is like the actual Jund deck, just with some better cards.
Yeah, pay 4 mana, get a 3-2 with haste, and some other thing. And by the way, every other thing in the deck is also good.
Yeah. Oh, but it's got more Liliana's to choose from.
It is running 3 Lily of the Veil in one Last Hope, because...
With another in the board, you need more Last Hope.
More Last Hope? Is that even possible?
If you take something else out of your main, or you just add them, you can do that. What do you care? Half of your spells are free, right? Or at least four of them.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. Well,
if you're playing against this deck, you can always hope that they play the Bloodbraid Elf into a Maelstrom Pulse and don't have a target other than one of their own things. That's like a best case scenario.
The Maelstrom Pulse, their Bloodbraid Elf.
That's like the worst best case scenario.
You can't do
ever.
That because the Bloodbraid Elf isn't playing.
You can't do that. Bloodbraid's still on the stack.
That's true. Right? You're right. There's nothing.
But
that's
anyway.
Funny.
So, in six, well, I mean, you don't have to cast the spell with Cascade,
yeah,
so.
It's...
Yeah. Anyway, and before we get the tweet, we know.
Yeah, we know. But still, that's your best case scenario, is that their free spell doesn't help them in any way.
All right, in sixth place, Garrick Alford, I'm not sure which, is running a blue-white control deck that's rocking
believe.
Two copies of Wall of Omens. No kidding.
Well, there's a reason.
Because Bloodbraid Elf?
Because Wall of Omens both blocks things and gets you those cards that you want, and it buys you that precious, precious time for your four mana you don't get to play anymore. Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Oh, I hear he's better than all.
He's hanging out with Gideon and Gideon. I wonder if they go driving cars later. Not in this deck, but...
Yeah, I had to look. I'm like, wait, is there like a single vehicle somewhere? No,
wish.
There's not. Okay.
Ooh, there's an Elspeth in the board, though.
Like I say, there is Elspeth in the board.
Yeah, this deck slows it down. It's control.
Oh, yeah.
Checks out.
Elspeth.
In seventh place, Julian John is running a green-black Tron deck. And then in eighth, Colin Roundtree is running Eldrazi Tron, which sounds like the next Michael Bay movie. Let's hope not, though.
Does it also contain the Ugin? No.
Wait, no?
The previous Tron did, but the Eldrazi
Tron doesn't.
Tron does,
correct. I was like, I saw one. Wrong one.
Yeah, that was the previous Tron.
Let's see. Looking further beyond the top eight, we've got a Black-Red Hollow One deck.
Nothing good till 22nd place. There, I spoiled it for you.
More Eldrazi, Jeskai Control, Counters Company, the four-color Pyromancer deck, Sultai Tezzeret, Tribal Zoo. In 21st, and there's the burn deck in 22nd.
Like I said, nothing good till 22nd place.
And a blue moon in 23rd, because, you know, we saw you standing alone.
Thank you.
The former boogeyman of the format, Humans, is in 24th. Oh, there's another Ponza deck in 25th, yeah.
Must suck playing against the blue moon deck with the Jace the Mind Sculptor in it. Like, just go home.
Oh, and there is a fairies deck all the way down in 32nd.
Ooh.
Wow, this is straight fairies, too. Mistbind Click, Snapcaster, Spellstarter Sprite, Vindy Click, Chase the Mind Sculptor, Lily the Veil, Bitter Blossom, Spreading Seas. Wow, remember that card? That card is brutal.
Yeah, it is. Thought Sea, yeah. Inquisition of Coastline. Yeah, this is just, it's old school fairies, but with better cards.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know this deck.
Kalitas and the board. He's not a fairy at all.
So, duly noted. So that was the Modern Open with 818 players. Good job, everybody. High fives all around. Going to the Modern Classic with 187 people playing. Robert Burney won with Dredge. But it's Modern Dredge, so it sort of kind of resembles playing Magic. Kind of. Sort of.
Within the limits of available.
Yeah. Jund in second place by Joseph Herrera. Josh Crow is in third with Burn. Oh, no exaltations from clues. Okay.
Sorry, I was distracted.
It happens. A blue-red Gift Storm deck in fourth place by Kevin Downs. Jody Keith is in fifth place with a blue-red Prison deck. What? Tezzeret the Seeker? Guys, look at this deck.
I'm pulling it
all
up.
All right, bringing it up.
Bottled Cloister. Wow. Chalice of the Void, Crucible of Worlds, Engineered Explosives, Ensnaring Bridge, Expedition Map, Grafdigger's Cage, Mishra's Bauble, Pithing Needle, Sorceress Spyglass, Tormod's Crypt, Welding Jar, Witchbane Orb, Artificer's Intuition, Gyarapur Aether Grid, Whir of Invention, and Mox Opal.
Huh.
That was my takeaway as well, yeah.
It's like somebody let Animal into a tournament. Like, six people get that. That's great.
And those six are giggling their asses off.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Ensnaring Bridge and Bottled Cloister just means you can never attack me ever.
Huh.
Oh, because it's got Academy Ruins.
Oh, and it's got Academy Ruins. Go, go, Gadget Tezzeret.
This is very much a prison deck.
Yeah.
Okay, this then. Sounds awful.
It kind of does. I'm actually gonna close it. Well, I guess once you get a Gyarapur Aether Grid late enough into the game, you can just end the game. So, you know, that's something. I'm just going to close that deck list now in sixth place.
Defense Grid in the sideboard?
Well, yeah, you got to have that.
That's...
In sixth place, Michael Smith is running a mono-green Tron deck. Jonathan Rosem in seventh with Humans. And Min Tram in eighth with a Jeskai control deck. Nice. Rest of the top, 16, we've got a Titan Shift, Esper Taxes, more Humans, more Jund. Infect, another black-red hollow one, more Humans, and Grixis Death's Shadow. Nice. So there you go. That's your modern classic.
Yep.
Classic it was.
And then finally, the standard classic only had 94 people.
Yep. You're going to like this one, Cliz.
Ooh.
Wow. Good lord. Ooh. So Andrew Funkhauser won the whole thing with a Grixis Energy deck. Which makes sense. Sam Clayton is in second with a mono red aggro deck. Okay, yeah, yeah, that's beautiful. What you'd expect.
Yes, third place. Half of the top eight knew what they were doing.
Third place is Luke Barton with a mono red aggro deck.
Nice.
Fourth place is Marcus Chandler with a mono red aggro deck.
Excellent. Tell me more.
They did put up a fight. Fifth place was Ricky Lynn with a mono red aggro deck.
I love it. What else we got?
Sixth place is Jason Connolly with a mono black aggro deck.
Eh.
Combo breaker.
It depends on which combo you were going for, but yeah. That looks also brutal. Grixis Energy in seventh by Aaron Acosta. And Jim Still in eighth with a blue black control deck. That's a lot of creatures. What?
It really is.
Champion of Wits, Dusk Legion, Zealot, Glensleaf Siphoner, Gonti, Scarab God, Walking Ballista, Torrential Garrulk. Oh, okay. Just a different flavor of control deck?
Control the Hitcha.
Let's see. Okay, see, the ninth place blue-black control deck is a blue-black control deck. It's running four Torrential Garrulk, two Scarab God, and a bunch of spells that say no or kill things.
Yeah, because this is a blue-black control deck that uses blue and black spells to stop you from playing. The other one's a blue-black control deck because it hits you until you're blue and black, which is how it controls you. Very different experience.
Gotcha, okay.
So the eighth place deck is stop hitting yourself?
Wait, why is there a red-blue aggro and tenth?
Because somebody got really confused.
Oh, because there's a Siren Storm Tamer in it.
Why?
Yeah.
Was it a dare?
I mean, Siren Pirate Wizard.
There's also Essence Scatter and Negate in the board.
Yeah, I
also
think they...
Spell Pierce.
I think they really need to commit, you know, oh, and there's like half the top eight did.
Yeah, that's really weird. Let's see, what else? Green-white tokens, Mardu Vehicles, green-red aggro. More Mono Red Aggro and Naya Monsters. So, yep, mostly decks we've seen.
Yep. Deck lists.
Yay!
Hooray!
So, there you go.
More aggro!
That is the Star City Open in Dallas.
Aggro for everyone. We all get to eat lunch.
I bet that was a fast top eight. It's like, all right, boys, clean everything up. We're going home already.
I'm imagining the match between fourth and fifth was the most exciting.
So, we have a few more things here in the show notes to talk about, including a WizKids thing. Quick, what does WizKids do?
No idea.
Makes miniatures.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they make miniatures.
They
do HeroClix.
We have discussed them before.
But hang on, their website's kind of lame. Yeah, they do HeroClix, Dice Masters games. Interesting. a lot of licensed Marvel and DC Dice Masters games. Even some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Huh.
Heroes in a Half Shell?
There are two. One is called Heroes in a Half Shell, yeah.
Nice!
The other called Turtle Power?
No, it's just called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Room to Grow. Yeah, I skimmed over to their miniature games, and they have Attack Wing D&D, but they also have Attack Wing Star Trek. Now I want to see them fight.
Oh, they make Agricola. I didn't know that.
Oh, nice.
And the Tomb of Annihilation board game.
Okay, then. But here, they make magic stuff.
And hero clicks.
And mock-ups of boxes.
And mock-ups of... Wait, what?
Boxes!
This image is not final.
Fair enough. But anyway. Yeah, HeroClix is where I knew WizKids from originally. But they are doing a thing. Magic the Gathering board game and token miniatures. Called Heroes of Dominaria. Hey! Uh-oh. I could not get to the mute button in time. I apologize.
Oh, I assumed the sneeze was part of the board game name.
No, because they couldn't spell that.
That's hyphenated. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So it's designed for 2 to 4 players. And you'll visit storied locations such as Llanowar, Urborg, and Keld.
Don't go to Urborg. You're not going to like that.
Draw mana from the world to power abilities and recruit heroes to aid in quests.
And if you go to Llanowar, do not step on any twigs.
And it says it's a Euro game. In true Euro game fashion, use strategy to score the most victory points and emerge victorious. I'm guessing if you're a board game aficionado, you know what that means. Clues?
Yes.
Do I?
Okay, never mind then. That's in this description here as if that's just a thing that you know. So thank you.
Yeah, so the short answer for you is that European style games tend to be less based on chance and more based on strategy is the argument. It's, you know, a lot of American style games involve rolling a bunch of dice or trying to screw each other over. European games tend to involve a little bit of screwing each other over and a lot more positioning. Like a lot of the, you know, like drafting type games where, you know, you put together the deck that has the most like victory condition points. That's more European style as opposed to I win by defeating other people. Instead, it's usually I win by getting the most resources the fastest. I'm saying this in a grossly overgeneralized session. I know there's a million people who are going to correct me on stuff because I'm not as far into board gaming as a lot of people are, but that's the super simplified version for right now.
Gotcha. So there you go. It will be available in 2 versions, standard and premium. Both versions include pawns, but the premium will also include 4 pre-painted miniatures of iconic Magic the Gathering heroes. Yay.
2 of which are right here and look cool.
No, I think that's something else.
Oh, I'm sad now.
Is there a release date or anything? Here we go.
August.
Dominaria, August 2018. Okay.
Yep, there we go.
The other thing is Magic the Gathering Creature Forge, Overwhelming Swarm, a brand new series of token creatures. So they're sculpted in scale with the WizKids D&D minis line. So if you know about the WizKids D&D minis, you'll know the idea. The inaugural set will feature 28 tokens spanning well-known creature types for Magic's 25-year history. Discover never-before-seen 3-dimensional representations of angels, soldiers, goblins, zombies, bears, dragons, dinosaurs, and so much more. So that's cool. Each token will come with a base that represents one of the 5 iconic colors that make up the foundation of Magic's mana system. Mainstays like artifacts and multicolored creatures can also be found in the set, each with its own unique corresponding colored base. Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty neat.
Game stats are also shown on the base, making these tokens perfect for both play and display. And the examples here are an angel with a white base and a zombie with a black base. Because, yep, makes sense.
Those are neat.
And these are expected to hit store shelves July 2018. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, I will probably purchase that.
Yeah, you probably will. Depending on how much it is, I will think about it. Because those would look really sweet on the backdrop behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would.
They will also be probably too small to use on the backdrop behind you.
That was the other thing I was thinking, yeah.
But Chewie would know that they were there, and that's what's important, right?
I would. I don't think that's what's important, though. So there you go. If you'd like to see these, the link, as always, is in the show notes. Okay, so there's one more thing here that is really trippy, and I'm just going to hand this over to Bill.
Oh, boy.
So Bill didn't put this in the show notes. Will did.
Yeah, he did. So what Will added to the show notes was a Rivals of Ixalan manga, which this link will take you to the Japanese Magic the Gathering website. And yeah, it's a cute, not quite super deformed, but it's a cute style version of the adventures of Jace Beleren as he doesn't know where he's at. You know, the Ixalan plot. And one, this is entirely in Japanese. So you'll probably be able to find on Reddit or somewhere else translations for this. There's nothing immediately available on the page. If you're like me, you're just going to pull it up and you're going to scroll over and go, wow, he looks silly repeatedly. And also the amazing levels of, you know, emotion coming out of Roska, of all people. Because ridiculous over the top is exactly how manga likes to work. Oh, dude, there's Bolas. Yeah, I'm just scrolling over it now. So it's cute. It's manga-y. I'm sure the translation is forthcoming if it's not already available somewhere.
And it looks like this has been running for a while. Like the two links at the bottom.
Looks like it's part of a series.
Yeah, the two links at the bottom, one of them is definitely a previously. Because when you click on it, you get the first part of the story. Or the previous part of the story. Oh, and it looks like they're the only two parts, at least thus far.
Could be. Yep, there's a little downloadable PDF here, too.
Interesting. So there you go. If you're into Japanese anime, which I know lots of you are, because Bill is.
Therefore, all of you are.
Well, no, Bill is a third of this show, so clearly a third of you people out there do, right? That's how that works?
That's how it works, yeah.
Yeah,
it's totally right.
Yeah, so the first one came out on November 29th, and the second one came out on March 12th, so they're probably doing one of these a set, you know, at the end of each story.
Oh, so that would explain why this shows Jace waking up on the beach. Yeah, okay.
So this is neat. It's cute. Go check it out if you like cute things.
It is definitely just adorable.
I appreciate the fact that it opens with Vraska shaking Jace and telling him to get it together. And he proceeds to not get it together because he's still Jace. Go team.
Yeah. Oh, and one more thing for those interested. They have revealed the top 8 of the Great Designer Search 3. So this is where it starts to get really interesting.
Now they must fight.
Pretty much, yeah. So yeah, they will get a series of challenges and, you know, have to do things. And
it becomes the reality TV show part now.
Yeah. So they're going to have 5 challenges, knocking the top 8 down to a top 3. So there you go. If that sounds interesting to you, link is in the show notes. Go check it out.
Yay.
All right, then. Wow, is that everything that's not Magic Online?
Probably.
Okay, then. Let's go to Magic Online.
Magic Online. As usual, I remind you that most of the news pops out on Tuesdays. We record on Mondays. So even though I linked to the weekly announcement, most of it's irrelevant because it's about stuff that's already happened. If you want to stay current on this, go to the Wizards website, then on the top, go to Products, and then Magic Online, and you'll see the most current news, next to which will go up on 313, barring surprises. That said, I'm going to skim over to the parts that are still relevant. So, as mentioned earlier, Masters 25 is coming up pretty soon, because they bumped it to Wednesday. And I've actually got a link here in the show notes to all the information about the Masters 25 events, which are listed here. And yeah, it'll be running from Wednesday, March 14th, and available until Wednesday, April 4th. So you've got about 3 weeks to run with that. It's going to have 2 draft leagues, a regular and a phantom. You can see the pricing and details in there. They're also going to be updating the Magic Online treasure chest, which are pretty much how you get your prizes, to include content from the new. Also, you can get a Ragavan the Monkey avatar, which, sure. Monkey.
Yay, monkey.
There's other avatars, but who cares? This is a monkey. Full details available at the link in the show notes. I'm not going to read off all of the cost and event time frames, but know that they're there. What I will read to you, because it's way more entertaining for me, is the bug blog, which went up last week. So the bug blog is your opportunity to see what works, what doesn't, and most importantly, what you should avoid and what you should report in the event that it's being used and exploited against you. So these things go up every 2 weeks. There's not too much here, but I want to talk about them. So first of all, if a card's only effect is to move cards from the library to the graveyard, it will also appear in the revealed zone.
Yep.
I mean, sure, public information, that's still weird.
So just a mill spell
will now reveal.
Huh.
Yeah. You can always look in your opponent's graveyard. It's just, there they are. They should not be in there. That's just a display problem. Also, default yes and no key bindings do not work with the miracle mechanic. So, take that free will. You'll have to click like normal. More importantly, gameplay stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Dream Halls does not function if the owner uses a mana ability after the enchantment resolves.
That's a big one.
Yeah, so Dream Halls says, rather than pay the mana cost for spell, its controller may discard a card that shares a color with that spell. So the card effectively stops working if you continue to play the game with mana abilities. So that's just dumb. Someone made a mistake. Don't play with Dream Halls till they fix it. Here's a fun one. So a game reset can be caused if a player is able to take a pregame action, such as the one associated with Leyland of Sanctity, and chooses not to use it.
Yep.
That's pretty substantially bad. You know what? I don't want Hexproof this game. I don't want this game at all. We're doing it again. You too can be Karn and restart the game. That is remarkable, actually. That's a special case of bad coding. I'm sure they'll fix that soon, because that sounds important. People play with ley lines. And finally, using a Primal Wellspring to copy a spell you are able to cast through Gonti, Lord of Luxury, will cause the copy to be controlled by your opponent. That's an appropriate cough.
Damn it, Gonti.
Look, Gonti does what Gonti wants. Clearly. Gonti is a rogue. Gonti will take it. Gonti will give it away, and Gonti will lie to you about it later.
Gonti sounds like a douchebag.
Well, yeah, I mean, Lord of Luxury is not the same as Lord of Charity or Lord of Decency. So he takes it, he gives it away. What does he care? He's rich. Gonti is a jerk. He is a bourgeoisie jerk.
Oh, yeah, it should be pointed out. I don't think Bill did. Just because they moved up Masters 25, they did not shorten the Legacy Cubes.
Stuff. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't actually say that.
Should they overlap on that?
Yeah, there will be overlap because they said it would be here until, what, Friday?
Yeah.
So
through the 16th.
They're leaving it till Friday.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Yeah, that will still be around. So neat. And that's what's relevant.
Yay!
Hooray, Magic Online continues to exist. In spite of its championship mysteriously eating one competitor, whom we've never heard of and no one told us what happened.
Oh, no, a couple people mentioned there was visa issues.
Oh, well that sucks.
It's just weird that I had to have assorted people on the internet tell me that instead of it being mentioned somewhere
officially. That really sucks, too.
It does.
Like, congratulations, you've made it into this high-stakes turn. No, you don't get to. That sucks. Oh, well. At least Magic Online isn't actually eating people anymore, so we no longer have to refer to it as the other Tron incident. Now it's just about making mana. And that's it for Magic Online.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up.
Yeah, we've been talking enough. So, yep, you can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinTheBob. There's no I in Goblin. Twitter's pretty much the only place you're going to find me immediately because I'm not going to any conventions anytime soon, and most of my social life is going to movies, which I listed off a bunch up last week. I did get to watch most of Jessica Jones over the weekend. I have not seen all of it yet, but soon enough I will. I am enjoying it as I had hoped I would.
Yay.
And I will share no other details because I know some of you will be watching it.
Like so. Me.
Like Chewy and Clues and possibly you. And that's pretty much that. I don't know if anyone has had a chance to see Wrinkle in Time yet, but if you have, I'd like you to tell me if it's good or not. As we've mentioned several times, I'm hoping it's good, but I haven't seen it. So
apparently,
tell me if it turned out to be good.
Black Panther and Wrinkle in Time are holding 1 and 2 at the box office, so.
Black Panther broke $1 billion.
Good lord.
It is, I think, one of 6 movies to have done that. Or 6 Marvel movies or something. It's pretty up there. So kudos to it. It's doing well. Yeah, hopefully that will continue. And then, yeah, next week I get to see giant robots beat the crap out of whatever. It doesn't really matter. They're giant robots. So.
Oh, is that next week?
Pacific Rim is next week.
Huh.
I really need to watch the first one.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you should do that.
Like, I bought it on DVD when at like in a $5 bin for like $3 ever ago. But because it's a DVD, I just can't be bothered.
It's all the way over there.
Yeah, but it like never streams on any service that I have access to.
Well, that's why you have the DVD. Yeah. That's your streaming service. It streams from the disc.
But I just can't be arsed. I really can't. I don't even think I took the plastic off of the damn thing.
Squee, I need you to go over to his house.
Oh no, I can't be arsed to go over there if he can't be arsed. No. It's not one of those things where I'm going to double arse when he's half arsing. It's just not going to happen.
It's not even half. It's non-arsing.
Oh, it's non-arsing? You're like tilde arse? No, that's terrible.
Like, I can't even sit.
Oh, you can't eat. You can't even.
Anyway.
Some Eldrazi nonsense up in here. Anyway, go ahead, Clues, before you robot more.
All right. If you'd like to hear more from me, I'm apparently a robot. I can be found over on the Random Discard podcast, which is at randomdiscard.com. Also here on the MTGcast network. We got a new episode coming out about Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and another episode coming out about Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So watch for those. Coming soon to a podcast feed near you, unless you use the old podcast feed from back in the days when we were Card Advantage. That feed is no more. Don't use that. It's not good. That's what I'll say there. Your best way to reach me is on the Twitters. I am at LockLuze, spelled just like it is in the show notes. Beep boop. Over to you, Chewy.
I do find it funny that you were mostly human through all of that until you said beep boop.
Perfect.
Hi, I'm Chewy. You can find all of the stuff I do all over the internet as the Mana Pool. We recently
got rid of the Mana Pool.
No, just on cards. It still exists.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We just don't get free publicity anymore. But yeah, we just did the Mana Pool number 500, where we live streamed it with 4 dork face cams and a disembodied voice who was guiding the whole thing. We did. For legal terms, we couldn't call it Magic Jeopardy, so we called it Magic Jeopinaria. Because Dominaria.
Oh.
Yeah. Where the 4 of us competed in a Jeopardy-style thing run by Jake Jansons, noted magic judge and robotics guy, and apparently he'd never been on an episode of The Mana Pool before, which was weird. I thought he had, but he's been on videos with me. He was on Duck Game and Rocket League and Golf with Your Friends, and stuff like that. And he's pretty awesome. And he ran his Magic Jeopinaria for us. So yeah, that was awesome. We did the first half was that. There was a break before the final Jeopinaria to play an audio file sent from Eric of Many Names, comparing the 500 episode run of the Mana Pool to sports seasons and long-running TV shows and stuff like that, which was fascinating. And a big thanks to Eric for sending that to us. And also, we spent the second half, it ended up being like a 3-hour-plus affair, because we did the whole thing, which was about half of it, and then we just did a massive, pretty much Q&A with chat for the second half, where they just asked questions and we answered them, because that's what a Q&A is. And it was a lot of fun. I actually broke 2 achieve Twitch achievements during that we hadn't gotten as far as number of people chatting at once and number of people viewing at once. So that was pretty cool. Big thanks to everyone who came to hang out. That was so much fun. And yes, we hit 500 episodes of the Mana Pool. We're going to hit 600 episodes of Monday Night Magic very soon. But to be perfectly honest, that number has a lot less meaning to me because I didn't start till episode 282. 500 of the Mana Pool was literally all me.
And for those of you who can math out there, yes, that means he's been doing it longer than anyone else.
Yeah.
From Monday Night Magic.
Through sheer stubbornness.
Yes.
So, that's fun. We haven't decided if we're going to do anything terribly special for 600. Probably not special. But when we know, you'll know.
Yeah.
If anything special happens, because, you know.
Cancellation.
Yay! Wait.
No, let's not do that.
But that's just the one thing now. The live stream is up as a YouTube video. So if you go to youtube.com/themanipool, you can find the Manipool number 500. And you can watch it there. Or if you just want the audio version as usual, that's also there. You don't get to see our ridiculous faces and Mike freezing whenever his router did that thing that his router does. So yeah. Let's see, what else? Oh, I guess all the usual stuff. The YouTube channel and the Twitch channel are both The Manipool. Twitter at The Manipool, Facebook.com/TheManipool, Instagram is The Manipool, it's all The Manipool. Go give us a follow or a like or a subscription or, you know, whatever is appropriate for whichever platform you're on. And if you want to help support what I do with all of this ridiculous amount of content, then by all means, go to patreon.com/themanipool. Oh, yeah, it's almost like we're doing the branding thing.
I sense a theme.
You should. Where you can get Manipool episodes and YouTube videos early, if you so choose. You can get odds and ends, all the stuff recorded before and after, both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool that is uncensored and unfiltered and generally unsafe for consumption. Like at the odds and ends for this very episode, Clue started off with lots of swearing and it was hilarious.
Might have happened.
Hilarious. Okay,
it was not Monday Night Magic.
But, yeah, I'm caught up on those again and I plan to stay caught up this time. So you should hear the odds and ends for this show sometime before we record the next show. Mm-hmm. And if you want, you can get the early stuff and the odds and ends and become a lifeguard. Get a shout out on both podcasts and on the end screen for every video that goes up during each month that you support at that tier. So to that end, I would like to thank the following exceedingly generous lifeguards. Kim Ho, Andrew Hunt, Al, Rafe Gall, Corey Clotier. That person, the sneeze, is not one of my patrons.
I was gonna ask.
Well, I mean, they are, but not at this tier. Oh, man, excuse me. Okay, who was that? Corey Clotier. Okay, Paul David. Lands Delicious. Team U, Hellas Haryu. John Morris. Stuart Slaw. PJ McMullen. Bosco Bertain. Casey. Nathan Hay. Danny Liao. AJ Javieras, Cody Buckawing, Jake Jansons, hey that guy, Jason Kaus, Brian DeLucci, Stark Maximum, Jimmy Scott, Dan Holm, Mike Millerburned, and Aaron Goodwine, the Beast Father. Thank you all so very much for your generosity. I quite literally could not do it without you. So, with that, I guess all that's left is to thank Clues and Squee for putting up with this, or with my rambling yet again this week.
A pleasure as always.
Much practice.
And and a reminder, if you really didn't like the they thing, shut up. K.
Delicious computer pasta.
Oh my god. And yeah. Thank you all so very much for listening. I got nothing. And go play some magic.